Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable live from the Colonial Theater in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. I'm Joe Donahue. Very nice to have you with us on this special, special day. First, before we move on, just a big hand for all of our panelists from the last 2 hours for giving their time and being with us. I'm just so thrilled that they were all here and able to have such a meaningful and special conversation. That will continue over the next hour as we talk about three incredible productions that are in our region, and we're so lucky to have them all here and to talk about them this morning. Of course, we were lucky enough to have Kate Ingwe with us from Williamstown Theater Festival. We want to talk a little bit more about WTF and about their season, W71. And at the center is the inaugural Creative Collective, a new collaborative leadership model led by Tony Award nominee and Pulitzer Prize winner Jeremy O'Harris. It features a multidisciplinary investigation and celebration of playwright Tennessee Williams. Williams' Camino Real will run Saturday, July 19th to Sunday, August 3rd on Williamstown's main stage with Pamela Anderson as Marguerite, Whitney Peake as Esmeralda, and Emmy Award winner Nicholas Alexander Chavez as Kilroy right here on our stage. Reimagined and directed by Obie Award and Lucia Lortel, award-winning theater and opera director Dustin Wills. Very exciting. We are also joined by Williamstown Theater Festival Managing Director of Strategy and Transformation. I want transformation in my title. That's cool. Rafe Piccarelli, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Welcome. Very nice to have you with us. All right.
Good to be back.
So give us a sense of, before we get to talk about this production, this amazing production, give us a sense of what brought you to Tennessee Williams and that being a place to start, if you will, in this new Williamstown world.
Oh, man. Well, in this moment of pretty intense transformation at Williamstown Theater Festival, we really wanted to think about the past and where we've been. And Tennessee Williams has been such a center of our legacy in so many ways. I mean, Nikos Sakharopoulos, the first artistic director, programmed so much of Williams and even did a definitive production that Williams felt was a definitive production of Camino Real back decades ago.
All right, stop.
Yes.
I swear to God, I worked on this for 2 hours on how to pronounce the name of the GD play. Okay, so I went to people in this building earlier to double check. So I had heard Camino Real. Mm-hmm. You are pronouncing it
Camino Real.
Camino Real.
Yeah.
And I hate to break it to you, but you're both right.
Okay.
Yeah, there are actually two different.
You're great.
Yeah. both pronunciations are correct. I mean, one is sort of like the idealized version of the place, which is the version that you're pronouncing, Joe, and then the other is sort of the grim reality of the place that we discover throughout the course of the play.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And but either will work when you order tickets.
Correct.
Okay, great.
Yes.
Excellent. All right. So go on, Rafe. I apologize for interrupting.
That's okay.
Clear the record on that.
It's a really good call out because every time I say it, I get looks from people, and both are right. Exactly correct.
You know, you say Van Gogh, people are on you in a second.
That's right.
So
that's right. Yeah, so that's really where we started, and this question of the legacy and how we can bring the legacy forward in an interesting way in this new format that we're building at the festival. And then we had a conversation with Dustin Wills, the director of Camino or Camino, pick your poison, and he said to us, I've been dying to do Camino Real. It's been this play that no one will let me do. It's huge and it's sprawling and it's epic and it's challenging, and there's a cast of 52 characters and you can really only do it with 25 actors, and good luck getting someone to give you a play with 25 actors on the stage. And we said yes. which was really where it started. And then, you know, continued to have conversations with a lot of artists who really love Tennessee Williams and the lineage and were curious about what it means for them to meet the lineage of Tennessee Williams today. So that's where we got to Not About Nightingales, that Robert O'Hara is directing. A very, very old, one of the earliest plays by Tennessee Williams. He submitted it to the Group Theater in 1938. And it was rejected. They said, no, we're not going to do this. And then it was unearthed in the 90s by Vanessa Redgrave and had a Broadway premiere in 1999, where it was nominated for Best Play, if you can imagine, that old of a play.
Yes.
And we get to do the first major revival of it here in the Berkshires. And then, you know, Jeremy O'Harris is debuting a world premiere play as follow-up to Slave Play, No Pressure. And in many ways, it's inspired by Tennessee Williams and so much of what Tennessee Williams was doing in plays like The Glass Menagerie, in plays like Camino Real. So there's a real dialogue happening. And then we're doing an ice show, which is the thing that makes me really giddy in so many ways. We read this novel that Williams wrote in the 70s, Moise and the World of Reason, and it's about a failed writer who falls in love with a figure skater that haunts him throughout his life. And it's really a gorgeous meditation on art making and what it means to choose the life of an artist. And we said, what do we do with this? There's something here and we don't know what it is. And I think we were probably grabbing drinks one night. It's how we tend to do business.
Yeah.
I was like, why don't we just put it on ice? And so I called the team the next morning and said, can we see if we can use an ice rink in the area? And we're doing that, which is kind of thrilling. So we called a director and said, do you want to do this ice show? And he said, I've never ice skated before. And I was like, great, you're perfect. And that's how it came together.
So how does that, now I grew up, I think you're both too young to remember this, but I grew up at a time where there was a thing called the Ice Capades.
You bet it, yeah.
Okay, all right. So it's similar to that, only Tennessee Williams?
You bet it.
Okay, all right. All right.
That's all I'm gonna say. I'm being coy about this one because it's really gonna be fun and quite interesting.
Well, it sounds very, very cool. Camino Real, you are in this, Nicholas. What has this been like to get cast in this and to be in a production that is such a part of the theatrical canon?
Yeah, it's a huge task, but so my process with this started on an audition that I did for the part with Dustin, our director, and then Jeremy O'Harris, who's the writer of Spirit of the People and Slave Play and the creative director of our festival. And going into this, the text is actually quite difficult. It's sometimes difficult to understand what's even happening in the play because it's so surreal. And so a lot of our early conversations were just trying to make heads or tails of it. But Dustin is such an exceptional director, and he really is a great fit personality-wise for this play and has helped the entire cast be able to assemble it in a way that I think it flows really, really nicely.
What is it like to work through it of saying, looking around at your fellow actors and saying, okay, so did you get that?
Yeah, I mean, at first, you know, we got to that table read in New York, and everyone's just kind of looking at each other, and they're like, and you're picking up on things here and there, but I think that in those early days, just really making sure that everyone is on the same page and everyone is participating in the same play, and that's maybe Dustin's one of his biggest specialties is that he's able to craft this world of the play and craft this understanding in a way that makes it accessible to everyone. And I think that that's what everyone will find when they come see our show, is that it sort of just unfurls itself like a painting. You know,
yeah.
you don't have to really try to understand it. It'll just like set on you the way that you would, like a really pretty painting or sculpture or something.
Yes, and it'll stay with you and something that will you can revisit.
I think so. I hope so.
Yes. What is it? Now, I remember, Rafe, this is because I've been doing this for a while, but 99, right?
That's right.
Ethan Hawke.
Ethan Hawke is Kilroy, yeah.
Yeah. And that was, I remember them saying, well, this show is never done, so let's do it. And it was interesting. It was cool, but it isn't, for the reasons you just mentioned, it is something that you have to like connect with.
Yeah, I think, when it premiered on Broadway in the early 50s, it was like a colossal failure, like could not have been a bigger flop.
Yeah.
And part of that, when you go back into the history and when you really consider the journey that Williams was on, is as an artist, people had a very specific expectation of the type of work he was going to make. So when you're able to remove the expectation or remove yourself from the expectation of what you think the play should be, it becomes really this extraordinary experience in itself. I mean, I think you articulated it in such a beautiful way when you see it as this painting that's forming and shaping, and when you let go of why isn't this streetcar, you can actually find the beautiful poetry that he's building in this very meticulously crafted world.
Nicholas, I'm assuming, did you know going in that you were going to be working with Pamela Anderson?
I did, yeah, and she's lovely, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that has to be really just cool, like a good starting spot there, right?
It's so cool. So interestingly enough, before this project was even on, I think, either of our radars, we met one another.
It was on ours. Yeah, go ahead.
we met one another in Paris. We were at an event together and sitting next to each other, and she was just so lovely and so sweet to me. And I think she could tell that I was a bit nervous, and she like reached over and gave me a hug and introduced herself. And then it was just so fortunate that we got to work together again on this, and I've had the opportunity to get to know her a bit more. And I mean, I really couldn't ask for like a warmer person to be sharing some of these scenes with.
One of the things you both mentioned, but I think it's worth mentioning again, this is a giant cast. I mean, one of the reasons it's so hard to do is because it's so many people. I mean, you've got a hell of a cast.
Yeah, that's right. There's 25 actors and three people in the band. So it's pretty huge.
So this gets back to our housing discussion we were having earlier, folks. That's a lot. A lot to work with for you, I assume.
Yeah, I mean, it is and it isn't. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, if I'm speaking personally, like I have a trajectory through this play that I follow, and then managing all of the other actors sort of is a task for the director, and then I have to deal with people as they come up. You know what I mean? In terms of my scenes of the play, but yeah, I mean, it's a lot of folks to get on stage, but our director Dustin is handling it beautifully.
So. And correct me if I'm wrong in this, but you come out of Monsters, which is the Lyle and Eric Menendez story, and that just blows up. I mean, it's incredible, and not only is it appointment television, but it's changing people's lives. So how do you then think, what's my next project going to be?
It's a really good question. At this point in my life, I'm at kind of a weird spot, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But my North Star, my guiding light, has always just been, what is the thing that is the most interesting to me? You know what I mean? Because I'm going to have to reconcile with the way that I spent my time at some point. And so I think that in order to minimize my own personal and artistic regret, I have to follow that compass and I have to do the thing that is most interesting to me. And so when this came across my desk, I was just like, this is so interesting for so many reasons, and it's going to challenge me. And I just thought that it was a great way to develop personally and artistically, and also get back to the stage, which is something that I've never done professionally. I did it in school, but this is actually my debut in terms of professional theater.
Rutgers?
Yeah, for a couple years.
And so is it like, I mean, I hate saying this, but like riding a bike. I mean, like when you get on it, you're like, oh, okay, I can do this.
Yeah. Kinda. I mean, it's every play's different, of course.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's fun. You enjoy it.
I love it. Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
It's the most wonderful thing in the world.
Rafe, what is it like to deal having all of these plates spinning at the same time as you're putting this all together?
I get a lot of sleep. Very well rested.
No, you don't.
No, it's, you know, it's so energizing to get to make theater and to get to make art. It has, especially today, where we're in a society where I think we're like looking for anchors in our society because there's so much happening. I really think art has the opportunity to do that, right? And especially theater, a place that gathers us and puts us in community with one another. And so that's a gift. It's a gift to be able to create that space for people.
Camino Real will be running Saturday, July 19th through Sunday, August 3rd on Williamstown Theater Festival's main stage. To learn more, you can go to their website, wtfestival.org. Rafe and Nicholas, congratulations. Have a beautiful time for the rest of your stay in the region. And thank you so much for being with us this morning. It's a great pleasure.
Thank you, Joe.
We'll be back right after this.